Good morning. Thanks for joining us again today. My name is Adam Sandiford, video and podcast producer at the Beamsville Church of Christ. In just a minute, we'll have a scripture reading, followed by this week's message from Don, titled, Welcome into the Kingdom. After the sermon, Jeff will share some thoughts around the Lord's table. If you'd like to be involved with this video ministry, send us a message on Facebook or visit beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca/contact. We'd like to include as many people as we can. Today's reading is Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16.
People were bringing little children to Jesus.
They wanted him to place his hands on them to bless them.
But the disciples told them to stop.
When Jesus saw this, he was angry.
He said to his disciples, "Let the little children come to me.
Don't keep them away.
God's kingdom belongs to people like them.
What I'm about to tell you is true.
Anyone who will not receive God's kingdom like a little child will never enter it."
Then he took the children in his arms.
He placed his hands on them to bless them.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for giving us your time today. I just have a brief message that I'd like to share. The Beatitudes are really wonderful mini sermons in a collection of one big sermon. And it's Jesus coming along. And it's not so much, as Dallas Willard says, as instruction. But Dallas Willard suggests that Jesus looks at the people and he makes an announcement to them. And for the first time, probably in all of their lives, they hear Jesus, whom they think is the Messiah, and of course he is, saying to them, "You are the blessed of this world." I used to read these Beatitudes as this: "Blessed are the poor in spirit." If you really are belonging to the kingdom of heaven, then you need to do all of this. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is seeing a crowd of people who've been pushed aside all of their life. And Jesus comes along to them and he says to them, "You are the blessed of this world. You really understand the heart of God. You are blessed because you're poor in spirit, and you're rich toward others and God. You're a blessing because you mourn for those people who are hurting and who are in conflict. You have the heart of God. You're blessed because you're meek, you're gentle of heart. You're blessed, not because you're powerful, wealthy, but because you hunger and thirst for God. You are a blessing of God." So it's not so much instruction as it is Jesus making an announcement upon the people of that day, and really making the announcement for us today. Jesus saw people who were broken and bullied and told all their life that they don't really count. And Jesus wants them to know that they are loved and that they are blessed of God. So some of you may recognize the name Henry Nouwen, an amazing theologian who taught, it was either at Yale or Harvard, I can't quite remember, and a wonderful theologian who basically gave up his academic career and came to Toronto, Markham, Ontario specifically, and worked with what was called the Arch Society. It was a large auditorium that they had, a chapel, and these were people who were pretty much broken, people who had a lot of physical challenges and emotional challenges and have really gone through a hard time. And Henry Nouwen gives up this amazing academic career, and he just wanted to be with the broken people of the world. And he said it was the highlight of his career, spending several years there in the Markham area, helping people. They had a chapel there. And every day, Henry would get up and deliver a sermon to the people who were there. And one particular day, as he was preaching, a woman by the name of Janet, who had challenges in her life, sort of interrupted Nouwen's sermon. She stood up and walked over into the aisle and started to walk forward. And she said, "Henry, I need a blessing and I need one now." And so Henry, in his gentle spirit, as he always was, came down from the pulpit and said, "Janet, you are loved by God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may God always be with you." So Janet turned around to come back to her pew, and Henry back up to the pulpit. But Janet stopped and turned around and went back toward the pulpit and said, "Henry, that wasn't a good enough blessing." So Henry came down from the pulpit, walked toward Janet, and said, looking into her eyes, "Janet, you're absolutely right. That was a perfunctory blessing." He put his arms around her and hugged her tight and said, "Janet, you are special. You are unique. You are loved by God so much that we can't even put it into words." And then Janet stepped back with a big smile and said, "Henry, now that's a blessing." And as Henry turned to walk back to the pulpit, he heard shuffling. And all kinds of people in that chapel stood up and started to walk toward the front of the building, all saying the same thing: "Henry, we need that kind of blessing." And even though that was several years ago, I think it's true every day for all of us. We all need a blessing. And all Henry actually did was remind the people there that they are loved, and that maybe all of their life they've been pushed aside or bullied, but never has that ever happened in God's eyes. God is welcome, always inviting and wanting them and us to know that we are a blessing to the world because of these beautiful attitudes that can become not just something that we're supposed to do religiously, but they become natural in our spirit, that we're poor in our own spirit, that we mourn for others, that we hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we demonstrate mercy on a regular basis, and all of the other attitudes that are there. So this wonderful, beautiful lesson, not so much instruction as an announcement, is the theme of Jesus's ministry. Notice how often he stops a very busy schedule and is interrupted by people who need healing or they're hurting inside, and Jesus stops what he's doing and he spends time with people. One of the beautiful scenes is with the disciples going along with Jesus in teaching. And it almost seems like in this particular scripture, in Mark chapter 10, I think it's around verse 16, that the disciples are a little bit annoyed with Jesus, that he's always stopping to spend time with people. But especially in Mark chapter 10, verse 16, it says, "And Jesus took his time, he took the children in his arms, and he put his arms around them, and he blessed them." And throughout all of the scriptures, what makes Jesus unique is certainly his teaching. There's no doubt about it. But most of his teaching is a teaching of welcome, that everyone is invited to be part of it, and that everyone is welcome, and that God's intent has always been that the world would come together as one. And right now, in this pandemic that we're dealing with, in many ways, the world has moved closer to each other because we're all in the same situation and we reach out to one another. And even if you're sitting on your back deck, if you have a back deck, and people right now are out of work and other people are sitting on their deck and some people over here are sitting on their deck, people are connecting for the very first time, getting along with one another, reaching out to one another. And one of the great ministries that we can all have is just by being the heart of God to the world around us, reaching out to people as we possibly can. So in this beautiful beatitude that begins, his teaching really is demonstrating going deep into the heart of God for all of us and then reaching out into the world around us. And I love when Jesus prays what I would call the Lord's Prayer. And we know what the Lord's Prayer is: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and so forth. But for me, when Jesus prays this prayer, John chapter 17, in my mind, because Jesus is the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus begins offering this prayer in John chapter 17, talking about his own relationship with God. And then he goes on and talks about his relationship with his disciples. But then he includes all of us. So if you're listening today and thinking that you don't really matter, or Jesus certainly isn't talking about you, please understand that he is. That even though 2,000 years ago, Jesus was praying for others, he was also praying for us. And he prays that we would come together as one. Here's what he says in John 17 and verse 20. Jesus says, "My prayer is not for my disciples alone, but I pray also for those who will believe in me," that's us, "through the message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they," us, "also be in us," God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, "so that the whole world may believe that you have sent me." And then he says, "I in them," us, "and you and me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and that I have loved them." He illustrated that love over and over and over again. So as Jesus begins his ministry, he begins by saying to the broken, the bleeding, the bruised, the bullied, all of those people who thought they never count, and Jesus says to them, "You are the blessed of this world. God loves you beyond words." And when Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, he begins this brief introduction into this hugely powerful book. And he says something that is so good. He says this, Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, "To the church of God at Corinth, to all those sanctified in Christ, called together to be holy." And then listen to what he says. "To all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and our Lord." It wants to bring me back to the central teachings of Jesus as he begins these beatitudes of everybody welcome, first class in the kingdom of God, and that the whole world is part of this. The welcome is given to the whole world. John 3:16 is powerful and the most probably quoted scripture in all the Bible because of the import of this, because it's important. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have life. And Paul picks up on that theme and he talks about this global, this worldwide love that God has for the world. That in 2 Corinthians, Paul says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ Jesus, not counting people's sins against them. Or that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. This beautiful story of Jesus reaching out to the world. And in Colossians 1, in verse 19, Paul says that Jesus is reconciling the world to himself, whether things in heaven or on earth, by bringing peace to the whole world. Or in Ephesians 1, it's God's intent to bring all things together in Christ. So who knew when Jesus begins his ministry and he makes this beautiful announcement to people who've never really felt included, and maybe that's you, and Jesus looks into their eyes and looks into our eyes and he says, you are welcome into my kingdom. You are the blessed of this world. And because you are a blessing, may you be a blessing to others around you. So that Janet, as she said, I need a blessing, Henry. God whispers to us, you are my blessing. And may you have a great week, and may your blessings flow out to other people in their lives as well. Thanks for watching. Have a good week.
Good morning, church family. It's good to speak to you, even though I can't get feedback from you today. But it's good to know that you're out there. And as Brenda Griffin says, it's even better to know that we're praying for each other. This morning, as we meet around the table to break bread, I want to pick up from the passage that Don has spoken on. In it, Jesus talks about the fact that the kingdom is exemplified by the least. And even more so, that it's the faith of children that's exemplary. They have absolute trust in their caregivers and in God. Jesus modeled that same trust in God by taking on human form. And nowhere is it more keenly demonstrated than as he nears the end of his life, when he knows that he has to give up that life. So he speaks to his disciples in John chapter 16, and you can feel the weight that he does. You can hear the emotion almost as John records it when he tells them, I have much more to tell you than you can bear. It was almost too much for him to bear. In the garden in Matthew 26, he asks his disciples to stay with him. For his heart is overwhelmed with sorrow. And of course, we know that they fall asleep. Later, when Peter and the others pull out swords to forcibly overwhelm the chief priests and his accusers, Jesus doesn't respond that way. He reminds them, I've not come here to create rebellion. My Father could send legions of angels to guard me, but that's not what the Father wanted. He had a man, and he wanted that man once and for all to triumph over the real enemy, that of sin. And Jesus was determined to carry that through. The fact that his disciples flee at this point and then deny their relationship shows how difficult a time it was for them and for him. It's going to lead him to the cross. But Jesus allowed that to happen, not because of the men who thought they held power over him, but because it was his Father's plan. I'm going to break the bread now, and I'll trust that you are doing the same at home. In the I guess, modeling the fact that Jesus used what was around him. When we get to the cup, you'll see that my cup is a little unusual, and I'll hold it up for you to see so that you're not constantly going back to say, what is he drinking out of? We don't keep shot glasses around our house. So let's go to God in prayer for the bread at this time, and remember the trust that Jesus put in his Father as he gave himself willingly on our behalf. Father, we can't begin to understand what he was going through as he was betrayed by his closest friends. They thought there was a quick way to an end, and sometimes we do too, but we know that your plan was the one that would deal with the real problem, the fact of our sin. We thank you that he gave himself to hang on that cross. We break this bread, this simple reminder that he came and lived in human form, but that he gave himself for us. Amen. So yes, this is a chicken. It's the smallest thing that we had since we don't have little communion cups. Jesus must have felt something he'd never felt before in all eternity when he went to that cross. Just before his death, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? To me, this is the hardest moment of all. The Father could not be part of the sin that Jesus now carried. And Jesus was alone for the first and only time in eternity. Yet through all of that, he trusts that his Father's planning will take care of him. Even as he hangs in anguish, isolated and alone. And that's the real triumph over sin. His life given for ours, his blood atoning for our sins, his Father's plan and power of resurrection in action. Jesus says it takes the complete trust and faith that little children demonstrate to make a kingdom. And he is our model. Let's pray again. Father, we can't begin to understand how your Son, together with you from eternity, could give up that relationship and take on our sins. But we celebrate this morning that he did, and we celebrate the power with which you raised him to a new life and invited us to do the same, to have a new life. Father, as he reminded his disciples years before, we need to have that kind of faith and trust that children demonstrate every day, that you have all of our lives in your hands, and you know and do what is best for us. We thank you that he gave his blood. We thank you that as a result, we are seen as clean and white as snow. In him we pray. Amen. my prayer for you this week is that you will trust in God and that you will share that with others because you have been given so much. Have a great week.
To conclude our service in prayer, I will quote a modified version of John 17, 20 through 26. This is Jesus' prayer for us, unity, and his mission. Today we will echo Jesus' prayer to the Father for us, unity, and his mission. Pray with me. Dear Lord, I pray for those who believe in Jesus through his message, that all of us may be one, just as the Father is in Jesus and Jesus is in the Father. May we also be in Jesus and the Father so that the world may believe that you have sent Jesus. Jesus has given us the glory that you gave him, that we may be one as the Father and Jesus are one. Jesus is in us and the Father is in Jesus, so that we may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent Jesus and have loved us even as you love Jesus. Father, help us to be with Jesus where he is, and to see his glory, the glory you have given him because you loved Jesus before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, Jesus knows you, and we know that you have sent Jesus. Jesus has made you known to us and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for Jesus may be in us and that Jesus himself may be in us. Amen.